Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And as always, I'm grateful to engage each and every one of you who will join us tonight. And we appreciate those who have joined us in the past. Now, as we wrap up this month, focus on fatherhood. There is a need to stop just for a second and to consider the distinguishing qualities of a man who eventually evolves to become a father. Now, as we discussed last week, mere chronology and biology does not make one a man. No, it does not. One of the reasons men get a bad rap is because our society has totally distorted the meaning and the essence of manhood, particularly so in the context of urban America. Every and everybody can claim that they are man. So it's confusion about who and what the real man is. All right, join me tonight in my discussion from the topic Seven Pillars of Manhood. Seven Pillars of Manhood. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that number to call in the live podcast studio tonight is 657-383-0944. Now, if perchance you're listening to the show for the very first time, I'll just explain. I'll start off with a monologue. This monologue allows us to have context for our discussion, and it gives us the ability to have a frame of reference as we move forward, okay? And the hope is that we'll be able to have focused conversation, and that'll keep us out of the weeds. Now, I'm introducing some concepts and some terms that some may not have heard of, some may not agree with, some may agree with. Either way, as your host, we have prepared and we stand behind the statements that we make, and I look forward to having you join us in this conversation. All right? All right, so Y'all bear with me. It looks like we're having a few issues with our Facebook, but we're going to keep on going. Let me see if we, I don't know if we, bear with me 1 second here, audience. We may have to start over here again. No, it looks like we're going. Looks like we're going. Okay. I'm going to assume that we're in good shape. Can't see my camera, so I, okay. All righty. Sometimes technology is not your, the best friend that you have. Let me do this. Let me do this in the interest let me do this just to be clear here. All right. Bear with us there, callers. We are trying to get our live stream together here. But we'll be right with you very, very, very shortly. And we're talking from the topic tonight, 7 pillars of manhood. 7 pillars of manhood. And the hope is that we all walk away from here informed and stronger, those of us that are men as men, and those of us that are women, understanding how to respect and support and to uphold your man. You understand what I'm saying? Ultimately, that's what it is we want to do. So, and just bear with me there. My Facebook is kind of clowning, but I'm going to keep on going with the show here. Our monologue. Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verses 11 through 17, it surmises these 7 pillars. And what I'd like to do is to offer you, for your consideration, a definition of what a pillar is, man, and manhood, okay? And then what I'd like to do is to speak from the context of society, the origin of the concept of man, biblically, as well as from a legal standpoint. Because you talk to people, you get in the weeds and you get into arguments and things of that nature. And unless you agree what context you're speaking from, you may be right and you may be wrong. You know, you never really know. So what we want to do is to try to make sure that we're clear on what it is that we're saying and what we're identifying in the context of our discussion here. That will keep us at a point where we can communicate with one another, okay? All right, having said that, I think I'm just about ready to give me 1 second to get my live stream going back here. There we go. There we go. There's an ugly guy right there. I think we're ready to go. So, all righty. Okay, I think there we go. All right. I apologize. Sometimes my technology here in the studio gets a little quirky. Proverbs 27. Verses 11 through 17. Here's how it reads. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Then the 12th verse says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Verse 14 says, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be a curse to him. Verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Verse 16, whosoever hideth her hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which betrayeth her. Lastly, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Powerful statement there. Powerful statement. And these are the basis of these seven pillars of manhood that I offer to proffer and share with you tonight. So let's look at what pillar is. What you mean by a pillar, doctor? You know, what you're trying to say. And then we'll be able to get somewhere. Is that right? Yeah, we'll be able to elucidate some things here and get moving. When we talk about the concept of a pillar, very simply, what we are talking about is the physically, it's a tall structure. It's used to support a building, or it serves as a ornament or monument. But in this context, we're talking about a person that is regarded being reliable and provides support to others within the context of their social group and society. There's someone of prominence and importance, a pillar. So when we talk about these seven pillars of what we're talking about tonight, and that's manhood, consider this. But first, let's look at give a definition of man. And I shared with you earlier that we're going to look at it from three different perspectives, okay? Because I understand that we have a lot of males who have misrepresented manhood for decades, literally decades. I get that. I'm cognizant of that fact. And what I want to do is to make sure we don't get it twisted, okay? So that's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. Now, let us look at the meaning of man from these three perspectives, from a biblical perspective, from a legal terminology, and the commonly accepted societal norms or meanings. I'd like for you to consider the fact that the concept of man originated in the scriptures. In Genesis, the first and second chapter, it describes that man and its creation. There defines man as a replication of Elohim, God, the creator of the universe. Let us make man, that is, make him our likeness and in our image. Okay? So essentially, this was an extension of God left on the earth. This man was left, and he's authorized to rule in the earth. And the Bible talks about how he had dominion over everything that had been created, fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing. That's what the text says. That's what the text says. And again, we're talking about where man, concept of man originated, all right, from the Bible, from the word of truth. All right? This man had power. He had authority created with it. Now, the latter is made evident when a man displays the qualities of being a male human, okay, you with me? A male human born with masculine reproductive organs and demonstrates responsibility for everything about himself, the authority that he has, and his role in creation. He doesn't abuse and misuse that authority. Huh? I'm going to get there. Now, so I think we understand biblically that Elohim, God, the creator, made man to represent him in the earth and gave him authority. They tell him he had to beat on this woman and tell him he had to scream at his children or push other folk around. But he had a duty and a responsibility, and with that came authority to execute that. All right? That's the biblical definition of man. Stay with me. Now, according to the lexicon of the American judicial system, as written quite well by Henry Campbell Black in Black's Law Dictionary, it defined man as a human being of the male sex and above the age of puberty. That's a good definition from a legal standpoint. If you go into the court of law, that's what would be argued by attorneys, okay, of what a man is. I see we're going sideways already. Some people are questioning it now. I know because this is 2021. A lot of crazy things going on. Lastly, that's the legal definition. So we got the biblical, we got the legal. Now, here's the last one. Here's what commonly has been infused in our society. And I would argue that got most people, especially young boys, young males who should be learning how to be men, and mothers who struggle to ensure that they have lessons of manhood. This is the problem that society, the media, and people who have vested interest in planting certain thoughts and ideas in the heads of folks. This is their agenda. So consider this. Their meaning takes on various applications from one moment to the next. Okay? Now, because masculinity are made up both of biology, as we talked about earlier, right, from creation, and then there are some social aspects of it as well, right? Both of those factors are there because they're demonstrated by the same individual. Today what has happened is these factors have been toyed with, poked at, pulled apart, challenged, and redefined in academia, in the political arena, and my God, even you're seeing this more and more in the church world. Well, there's a question about what God intended a man to be. Help us, Holy Ghost. I think I clearly defined to you what that was. Now, we talked about seven pillars of manhood. What is manhood, simply, Doctor? It is the eminence of being all of those things God created you to be in every aspect of your life. Now, why a young male or a little boy or an infant is challenged to do that is because they don't know enough. They ain't been around long enough. You see? So it comes with experience, and that's how age factor in. When you've learned some over a period of time, we got some 50, 60-year-old boys who hadn't learned how to put their right shoe on keep their shoes on the right feet. Now, that's just the way it is, all right? So manhood is the eminence of being a man, the state, the condition, in every aspect of your life. That's what manhood is. So when we talk about seven pillars, we talk about the support of being this man all the time, not some of the time. I counseled a couple a few years ago, and a gentleman said to me, I figure she can be the man 50% of the time, and I can be it 50% of the time. My God. No, brother, no. You need to be a man 100% of the time. Somebody say 100. Yeah. That's how often you need to be a man. Now, if you're not ready for that, I guess you leave her out there, okay? Let's look at these seven principles. For the sake of our discussion tonight, I'm going to speak from the biblical context of a man. I know that there's legal jargon out there, and I'm aware that there's also some social ideologies and ideas that's been mixed up in there. You know, you hear people now suggesting that on one day or another they can choose whether or not they feel like being a man or being a woman. You know it's confusing and wrong, for it's got to be confusing to babies. Okay? Well, this speaks to the challenge that we have in 2021, teaching and rearing young boys to grow up to be the men that God intended them to be. Because everything and everybody is in their ear. And they don't know how to draw the difference quite often, unless they have someone in their lives that makes that difference for them. You see, it's very important. It's not something that you can just take lightly and assume that it's going to automatically be all right. Beloved, it does not work like that. You must be as intentional as putting one sock on a foot. You turn that sock the wrong way, it gets uncomfortable in the shoe. Are you walking with me? All right. That's how intentional it is. The first pillar, support beam of a man in his existence, involves being informed, being knowledgeable, right? Why is this important? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which is an explanation of the translation from Hebrew and Greek, identifies the Hebrew meaning of the word man as 4132 Zarkar, which means to be mindful of. And when you exegete the text, it's talking about being mindful of what God created you for and the authority that God gave you. So you can't walk around being dumb and tuned out of reality. Every man is fully aware and informed and keeps himself abreast and informed. That's part of the responsibility of being a man. How can you assume responsibility for something that you don't know anything about? Y'all don't mind if I talk to you. That's one of the pillars that supports and sustains manhood. Information, knowledgeable. The Bible said, in all thy getting, get an understanding. Knowledge is the principal thing. Wisdom, I'm sorry, is the principal thing. And in all thy getting, get an understanding. All right? Then let's talk about the second pillar, being organized or organization. And this is what we looked at in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, where in the text you read, a prudent man foreseeth evil. A prudent man foreseeth evil. Listen, as suggested in the text, a man can prevent himself from falling into a pit and making mistakes in life when he is organized in his actions. One of the first and early lessons, a young boy should learn is how to be organized. What you mean by that, Doctor? I'm talking about when he's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. You go in his room, you ought to see how his shoes are properly lined up. His bed is made. His clothes hang neatly in his, what, does it pop out the sky? No, someone intentionally taught him that. He learns how to organize everything under his control so he can what? Properly assume responsibility for it. That's a principle of manhood. Yeah. This don't just pop out the sky, beloved. It's an intentional thing. Being informed, being organized. Third principle is trustworthy, being trustworthy. When you look at Proverbs 27 and 13, you may notice that this is the text we read tonight. This is what it says. Take your garment that is surety for a stranger. Take a pledge of him for a strange woman. In the text, consider that what is the meaning here is, the lesson is about trustworthiness. A man demonstrates reliability by protecting those in his domain that are weak and vulnerable. He talked about the strange woman and putting something up, right, to look out for. Now, what man do you know that will sit back and watch? I don't care if it's her mate or her companion that's with him, sit there and watch you knock her upside the head or someone abuse children, especially out in the public. What man would do that without having something to say? What man will see his community ravished and destroyed, challenged by violence and so forth, and not say and do something? No man will do that. That's the trustworthiness. That's a pillar of manhood. The challenge we have in 2021 is that we have a lot of people who have vested economic interest in seeing particularly young brothers walking the street acting like buffoons. Let me say it again. There are people that get paid as long as they're out there clowning, shooting and killing and destroying their own neighborhood, their own family, their own reputation. Folks get paid. How do they get paid, Zachary? Well, somebody got the socials, the counselors, right? the teachers, the police officers, and all the other people in the court system that's supposed to be your support system. Well, let me tell you something. If a father taught his sons these things early on in life, guess what? He'll grow up being trustworthy, and you'll have to worry about him breaking the law or committing the crime. We will need all those folks. Are you with me? Trustworthiness is the third pillar of consideration. All right? Look at the fourth pillar, being kept. Look at what the text says in Proverbs 27 and 14 right quickly. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, in other words, you're looking to be seen, rising up early in the morning, it should be counted a curse. In other words, you don't do that because it's in your heart. You do it because you want to be seen and you think you're going to get something in return. A man understands the importance of keeping his conversation from being disruptive or destructive to others and confrontational. You got to know when to shut your mouth and when to properly assert yourself in the situation. He recognizes that there is power in his words. And when he speaks, he don't just speak just to be running his mouth. He speaks with authority. And what he says, people ought to be able to rely on it. That's another principle of manhood. People ought to be able to rely on what you say. So be careful what you say. That's one thing boys need to understand. A lot of times you grow up in situations where you feel like you got to put your bluff in. So you do a whole lot of talking. That's what James Brown was talking about when he said you're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. Like a dull knife, you just ain't cutting. You're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. Number four, being kept in your words. The fifth pillar deals with being cautious. Proverbs 27 and 15 says it like this best. A continual dripping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike, my God. If you give them enough time, they'll drip, 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 and tear everything up. A contentious woman now, all right? Now, what does that mean? A man makes careful consideration of who, what, when, and how he acts in the public and in his private affairs. Say that again, Bob. Say that again. Somebody missed it. Somebody missed it. Somebody missed it. A man. See, we talked about the pillars. A man. And this is what sustains your manhood. A man makes careful consideration of who, what, when, where, and how he acts in his private and public affairs. Let me say something. It's possible for you to have two good people, a male and a female, are two good people, but they're not good for one another. Huh? This happens a lot of times in people's choices in relationships. Not that they're bad people, they're just not good for one another. And what a lesson that a man learns is to be cautious about who you engage with and what commitments you make with who and how you conduct yourself in private and in public. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's going to be hard for someone. I taught this to young men in my seminar lectures when we traveled a few years ago. It'll be difficult for someone to try to put a negative character description on you, people that can vouch for that. So caution is key. To take your time and be careful where you go, who your choice of friends are, who you have any types of professional, social, or intimate relationships with. It can make you, and brother, it can break you. All right? The sixth principle is evidence of being evident in your essence. A man is careful not to hide the power, watch this, you all, the power and significance of his female counterpart or woman. Wait, doctor? Listen, when you go back to Genesis, the 26th chapter, it said, and God made man and woman in his likeness and image, male, watch this, and female, made he them. It's important for every man to understand that it's self-evident that you don't exist by yourself. Elohim made you such that you function in your fullness and your completeness with your female counterpart. In the Hebrew, your beshet, your wife, your best half, completion. And if you're wise, brother, if you're wise, you'll understand why this is important. He will not try to overshadow her or steal her thunder, if you will, or to block her from displaying her best qualities. In fact, he would recognize that Proverbs 31 and 10 talks about what a virtuous woman does. And she's happy. She's happy to serve he and their family. You don't have to be intimidated by that. And a man understands that. In other words, you find opportunities to highlight her. You find opportunities to make her shine. Because when she shines, you shine. That's an integral part of your manhood. Now, if you ain't got no woman, you ain't got no business trying to tell nobody else what to do. Amen, Walt. Look, okay, I won't go there. Let's go to the last pillar of manhood. And this is the text in Proverbs 27 and 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. One of the reasons we have a lack of trust and we can't do things together, particularly in the black community historically, is because I believe we've been socially conditioned. Many of us, collectively speaking, have been socially conditioned not to trust one another because we don't see the pillars of manhood. You talked earlier about how what you'll do is you look out for your brother and you'll put something up for him and your woman and other people that are weak and vulnerable. But when people can't trust you, they think that you're capable of robbing and stealing. Listen, let me show you all something. Let me go and break this down right quick. And we're going to go to the phone line here. 657-383-0944. Let me tell you something. We have a situation where you can't, there are a lot of people have communicated to me as a man of God, as a pastor, that they're not sure that they can trust the preacher with their own children. Used to be just a little girl, but now they can't trust them with boys. That's how shattered things have gotten. Okay? But when brothers are able to dwell in unity, as the text says in Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in. Listen, then you have a situation where you cut covenant with one another, you trust one another, and guess what? You can look out for one another. But your reputation among other men should be that you are a person that maintains and due bounds, and therefore they have confidence in you, and they can entrust you with their most sensitive things. With their most sensitive things. Those are the seven pillars of manhood. I understand that most of us probably never heard that before. And we're probably saying, that's new to me. I get it. But what I'm saying to you is understanding this helps us to understand why we're so far removed from trust, from functionality, and from even progress in our families and in many neighborhoods and communities. People are looking for answers. And oftentimes, rightfully so, we assume that the preacher's got them because the preacher is the next thing to God, right? We assume that for sure We ought to be able, the preacher ought to be able to tell us the truth. Can't nobody else tell us. Well, what if the preacher either don't know or don't want to tell you the truth? Help me, Holy Ghost. What happens? What happens? Then we find ourselves in a position where we got to try to make do ourselves and try to get that information. You see what I mean? Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm not suggesting that we should have little or less confidence in the preacher. But what is happening more and more today is people are becoming more informed how to read the Bible and interpret themselves, and they're asking many preachers questions that they're having a hard time to shoot straight about. Marvin Gaye said it like this when he was talking about manhood. Just for a second. The number is 657-383-0944. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're talking from the topic, seven pillars of manhood. Give us a call.
This has impacted the medical community, I guess I want to say maybe 5 years ago, and it's gotten worse in the last year.
Okay.
But what I want to say is that many physicians, not all, but many, are really not going to get away from what we were taught in medical school, the proper way to take care of patients, because as a family physician, I take care of children and adults. I was trained to do that. Yeah.
I see.
So I'll give you an example, like, you know, we use electronic health records. And all of our electronic health records, I know on mine, you know, we have to ask, are you a female or a male? I can tell from talking to them.
Right.
And we are not going to change our EHR system. Like, there's some, I may try to keep up with some of this, is about no longer using the word mother, but using the word birthing.
What? Is that right?
Yeah, I think I have that right.
Okay.
But the other thing I want to say is almost pediatricians that I've talked to, they are not going to talk to a seven-year-old about the process if they are a little boy changing to a girl. Okay.
Okay.
So my last thing I want to say, as you said earlier, some of these things have started because of maybe economical gain.
Yeah.
I want to say a lot of it has started because of political gain to win elections.
Wow.
No,
wow.
Yeah, to get a certain segment of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
we are trained to, we're trained to take care of, heterosexuals, bisexuals, gay, with, everyday common problems, situations. But, just the last thing I'm going to say, just let you know how this has, in a little bit, really a big, a large amount, affected the medical community.
Okay.
I was never taught how to change the male genitals into a female genital, okay? And I don't believe many physicians were taught that, and many are not going to do that. And if people want that done, I know they do that in California, but I have a Tennessee and a Florida medical license.
Okay.
And we have gone by medical boards, which are physicians. So I just want to stop it at that point. But we are doing a tremendous harm to young children.
Yeah.
And I think you also said young teenagers who we see doing all these crimes. Then we have older people who are born male that I feel we see they're afraid to come out now. They're afraid to say that they're heterosexual because that's kind of, and I've had patients tell me they're going to be, and I know this is Pride Month, everybody has their choice what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we feel, as physicians, trying your decisions to try to make the whole country or world change to your belief.
Okay.
And so I'm going to just say it like that. I'm going to continue listening, and then I may make some more comments.
We had another caller, but they dropped in. Maybe they'll call us back here. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. You're listening to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, Seven Pillars of Manhood. I appreciate what the caller there was just saying. One of the things when I ran for public office, I was happy to engage members of the LGBT community. And I thought we had a pretty good substantive conversation. So really what we talked about is legislatively what it was that I would do. And I explained to them that while I am a pastor and as a man, I do hold certain values and that it's important to me that in every way I teach and encourage and promote responsible manhood. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to show any personal disdain toward individuals who identify themselves otherwise. In America, you have that freedom. And I share with them that as a legislative official, it's incumbent on me to make sure all of your constitutional rights and those things that are available to you are met, irregardless of how you individually identify yourself. But I would hope that we both have mutual respect but not trying to force that on anyone else. I explained to them that my background and my occupational experiences in the social services as a pastor and so forth, I did a lot to teach responsible fathers and manhood and raising boys to be men and identifying with these principles, these pillars that I share with you tonight. I think they understood where I was coming from, and I believe we walked away with a mutual understanding. So it's not about, certainly not for me, showing a hate or disdain for anyone. They are American citizens, and they have as many rights as I do and have a place in America. But again, I'll just emphasize, when either I or someone else tries to force ideas on individuals legislatively or through some other source, what we see a lot now is council culture, as they call it. But if you don't go along to get along, we're going to put pressure on you to make you go away. Not a good thing. There's a lot of pushback to that for different people. And I was just talking about one of those pillars that I made reference to was the one having to do with iron sharpening iron, being able to trust and work cooperatively with people, And the reality is that whether you're male or female, this is important. This is very important. One of the things that a man understands is that if you're going to be able to function and sustain yourself in an environment with other people, you must be circumscribed. What that means, Doctor? You must be able to engage and respect people just as they are for who they are. And that takes nothing away from you as a man. Right? And vice versa. There's mutual respect, and you can support one another like that. It's important that a man is cautious, as I said, and that he choose wisely who he interacts with, how he interacts with them, that he keeps his tongue, that he demonstrates consistency in being trustworthy, that he organizes his life, right? All these things are things that we discussed in terms of those pillars, the basis of support for manhood. Now, anytime someone tries to erase that for political gain, for economic gain, or anything else, they cause disturbance to the peace and harmony in our society. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking tonight from the topic, Seven Pillars of Manhood. And what I try to do is to emphasize the fact that there are certain things, that certain characteristics that identify and sustain a man's standing in life and in the world. And when we erase those things, what we do is erase the very basis for manhood. Now, some people may want to do that because I see that many are looking to redefine it. As someone who believes wholeheartedly the importance when little male children are born in the world, that there should be a formal instruction in the path to them reaching responsible manhood, becoming a husband, new commitment, and a father, children. That's how we sustain humanity. That's how we do it. Now, for those who choose to do something different in America, you can do that. And I'll be the last one to try to stand in your way of doing that. But I would hope that we have a mutual understanding and respect for the fact that there are many who want to, we call those traditional characteristics, and traditional things, right, want to maintain that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I used to see people all the time who would come out and they'd dress up in costumes. And, you know, when we were little, we used to play like superheroes or characters, what have you. But the reality is we had to come back to the reality that we were not Superman. We were not Batman. We were not Hulk. But we were little project children that need to get in the house when it's raining outside. Amen. Again, we're talking from the topic there, and hopefully our caller will give us a call back to Facebook, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We'll keep the floor open here and the phone lines open. call us in the live studio tonight, in the live studio tonight. So 2320, if I might pose a question to you. I appreciate where you're coming from because you offer some very, very important considerations here. When we think about the social-emotional development of boys and girls, okay, but we're specifically talking about boys in context to becoming a man, how important is it that parents take notice of the effects of suggesting things that are not realistic, that one day those boys will come to grips with reality and they'll be challenged by certain things they face? How important is that for families? And I know you're in the field where you deal with that a lot, all the time.
Yeah, it's very important that parents just be honest and talk to their kids about these topics. And one thing that I do when I was, I don't do too much now, when I was doing physicals for children to get ready to go back to school, in addition to making sure heart, lungs, and certain lab tests were normal, we also talked about some developmental and developmental milestones and social social things that they may encounter. Let's say I'm going to say a seventh grader. I'm going to use that example because a seventh grade, about maybe 4 years ago, it became mandatory, but physicians felt, and the CDC, that a seventh grader get the DTaP again, the tetanus, diphtheria, pertussin vaccine again, because we start seeing more pertussin, which is whooping cough.
Okay.
So that was taking care of one medical issue, but I would also, let's say if I had a young boy, would ask the young boy in front of the parents, mom or dad, and I would always encourage both parents to come. Most times it's mothers, both parents would be there. The little boy, you know, what do you know about, you know, what does it mean you have the term girlfriend? What does that mean to you?
Wow.
Yeah, to kind of just like open-ended questions to have them just start talking. Okay? And the, the norm, and I heard you said, you know, someone chooses another lifestyle, that's their choice. But so with a little boy, I would say, what do you know about the term girlfriend? What does that mean? Do you know anything about that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to just answer your question, yes, it's very important that parents talk to children about it and not say, well, I'm not going to teach you, you know, say anything about it. It's very important that parents let younger children watch on TV. It's kind of difficult with social media now, with middle school kids now have cell phones, high school kids have cell phones.
Sure.
And with younger kids, it's much easier. And I'm just going to use an example myself.
Okay.
When I was raising, I have a son and daughter. My son was the oldest.
We
didn't have cell phones back then, all that. And we didn't have certain things on TV. But let's say on Saturday morning, we watch cartoons. I never forget Tom and Jerry and Sesame Street. You know, this is what they watch. Okay, in the evening you come home, you know, maybe go outside and play the pennant, or then you're going to come in and we're going to do homework and I'm cooking, and maybe we didn't have very much TV during the weekdays, but it's like certain shows they were not going to watch. Okay.
I get you.
But then if they saw things on TV or heard from their friends, I always gave them the opportunity, felt they could come talk to me or their father. And I wanted to say, I tell parents to get involved with things, productive things that their children like. My son loves sports. He loves sports. So, but he played every sport. I never forget baseball. He was a pitcher. We were there Saturday morning. The team never won. And my daughter said, "Why we keep coming to these games on Saturday morning?" I said, "Well, we're coming to support your brother. It was, you know, he's in high school, but he was a pitcher. We did swimming, we did soccer, we did all of that." So the point is. When you and fishing too, you know, they were taking fishing. We're talking about young men. That's your topic.
Get
them involved in things which mostly men do. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't want to, I can talk for 3 hours on this, but go ahead.
No, we good. I love it. You're making a great point. I don't know if you would agree with this statement, but there's a natural drive that comes with boys that causes them to be competitive and look and seeking to really challenge themselves first. And that's part of the competition in sports and other things. They really want to prove to themselves that they can fit in, they can maintain themselves. And when you have what you're talking about, somebody that models that and guides that for them, it can come out in a healthy way and not in a destructive way. I like what you said. I just wanted to add that point to that.
Yeah, and I'm just going to tell you talking to young men, like in seventh, you know, and I never forget, I had one young boy, he was seventh grade, and he told me, he said he had 22 girlfriends. I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "You a busy young man."
Wow.
So we laughed, and the mom and daddy, they looked at each other, they looked at me, and they didn't know. So I just used it. He had a daughter. I mean, he had a sister, and so then daddy started talking to him, and then the conversation started, and mama said, "Oh, no, you can't do this," and one girl. So the conversation started.
Okay.
Well, quite naturally, I said, "Well, you know, this is something that you need to go home and talk about."
Okay.
And I just told the young man, I said, "If you have 22 girlfriends, you're not going to be able to have much time to study. You need to be studying in seventh grade. What is I plan on being when you grow up? Well, I want to be an engineer."
Right.
I said, "That's wonderful. That is wonderful." Okay. I said, "But you have to make good grades to do that. And really, 22 girlfriends, you won't want someone who's talking to your sister to be talking to 21 other girls, would you?" She said, "No, that's not right." I said, "Yeah, okay." So that was the end of that. But that kind of opened up a conversation.
Right.
It opened up what I was trying to get, and what I tried to do is to get parents to talk to their children.
Right.
Okay? Talk to them. And sometimes when they're wrong, you have to punish them, even in high school. The means taking the cell phone from them. That's a big thing I tell parents to do now, because kids love cell phones. Yeah, back then, one time I used to tell parents, just take the car keys, okay? Take the car keys. Take the phone away from them. Tell them they can't go to a party. They won't do that again.
Yeah,
but that's
a whole other topic. You know, Doc, I was listening to what you were saying about having that dialogue with your children, and I know we're talking about boys, but with your girls as well. I never will forget. I took my son to a number of pediatrician appointments. And so the pediatrician asked that, you know, she be able to talk. He must have been 10 or 11 or something like that, almost in the preteen, the pubescent period, right? And she asked if it was okay if she spoke with him alone. And I think that that was the type of assessment she was making with him as well, which was perfectly fine with me. So I waited outside, and when she called me in, she had a smile on her face. She says, you know, he's very comfortable with talking, and he's very aware of many things. And my son and I looked at each other like she's the only one that didn't know that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And sometimes at that age, particularly in high school, almost all the time, I would ask the parents to step out. So that the child will be honest with me, and I would just tell them. I said, and I know like certain states have rules that if someone's 17 or 16 or 15 year old pregnant, you can't tell the parents. I can't remember all that, but anyway, those different state rules. But that, you know, I would tell the micro, let's say, you know what? Tell me, you know, I'm not going to tell your parents, but I will tell them anything that I feel is going to be detrimental, be harmful to you, And then, and I think that is a big thing we're having to do now because we've seen so much suicide during COVID, high rate of suicide during COVID among children, and also high use of opiate use, and I do take an opiate addiction, and so these are things that they would tell me, yes, that they felt like they were getting ready to, they were very depressed, whatever, so I would hear the conversation that, you know, we need to get mom and dad here so we can try to help you understand what's going on, let me try to help you, you know. So the pediatrician was right to ask you to leave because your son probably said something that he wouldn't have said if you had been in the room.
Well, no, what
I don't
she
know,
told
but
me,
I'm just saying.
I didn't ask him what she asked him. He volunteered to tell me, and
but that's
and he
wonderful.
Told me where,
good.
Well, no, we have that report, and that's the point that I'm making. We have that report.
That's good. And
he was comfortable in factually speaking to her about those biological features of himself and what he understood about certain transitions and things of that nature. And it just blew her mind. Maybe I'm overemphasizing, but she gave on as though she was really, really impressed, and that was unusual. And I can appreciate that. But that speaks to your point, the significance of parents having conversation with your male children about these realities. Because, see, I remember growing up in projects of Chicago, most of what we learned was from the streets, you know, about girls and what it means to be, you know, be a number one stud and all a bunch of foolishness. One was dumb and the other was dumber. We didn't know how to tone them from an athlete. We call ourselves experts, don't we?
I tell parents it's just best for your child to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Because what they learn in the street and what they learn on the internet right now, a lot of that is not true, and they're confused. Just be honest and tell your kids what it is. Tell them go ahead.
Yes. No, you're right on it. I'm sorry to cut you off, but even if you don't understand certain things that come up in the conversation, it's perfectly fine for you and your child to go find it out together. Don't be ashamed of not knowing how to respond to a given thing. You know, it's important. What's important is that your child not make those mistakes and not get caught up and experience loss as a result of ignorance. That's the most important. I'm sorry to cut you off, John.
Since we're talking about this, one thing I want to make a request. You said you're a pastor. I know you know many pastors.
Yeah.
Is that physicians feel churches, pastors, they really need to get more involved
with young
men of all races and ethnicities
because
we are seeing 15-year-olds who are stealing and killing, and they're going to jail. And what is their future for their life? I mean, for their life.
Right, right.
You know, and
right.
so that's just a request that I just want to make as a physician. I know many physicians, we talk about this, you know, because, you know, when patients come in, you know, we maybe can finish what we need to do in 30 minutes if Phil's going to talk with them. But parents but then, you know, the parents and the church.
Okay.
Churches, and I want to say organizations, you see many organizations do debutantes for girls and maybe modeling and these kind of trips. Those are great. But we are losing, you want to say males, men, to go into, I know there's a decrease of going into medicine. I'll say that, okay? There's a decrease going into medicine. And the reason is we can't find men who are qualified with the GPA they need in the certain courses.
Right. Wow. And watch this, Doc. Success in medicine and engineering and science requires individual discipline and their knowledge base. And that was one of the first pillars that I talked about early on. We're not holding our young people accountable for their thirst and quest for knowledge and information, right? And we just leave it. When I say we, I'm speaking collectively. Many people just leave it to them to develop a curiosity or interest in something. But it's important for a parent to explore with them to find out what their real interest is and what their weaknesses and strengths are relative to things that they're interested in, right? That's what my wife and I did. We, for both of us, we made sure that
and you gear them to take the right courses in high school particularly.
Right.
You know, you can't
start
in college saying you want to be an engineer and you haven't had algebra, water, geometry in high school.
That's just not going to work.
The other thing, during COVID, we all know schools were closed and some did virtual, some did hybrid methods. I was reading today, and some people may not like, I just read it, but South Carolina, I'm not going to say all schools, but in some schools in South Carolina, I was reading briefly, scanning an article, that they're having classes on Saturday now and summer school to try to catch up.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
When I read that, I just said in my mind, I'm so happy to read this because kids all over this country got behind.
Yeah, they did.
I'm not going to say all did. A lot of them did. I was going to say that.
And some of them that were doing well academically prior to the schools being closed got behind, you know? Some of them that were A and B students were affected by that. Their performance were affected by it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, we got Pastor Wallace here, 2320. Welcome there, Pastor.
Okay.
We're talking about seven pillars of manhood, seven pillars of manhood. And I recognize, Pastor, that for some people, they think that's a loaded topic. What you mean, seven pillars? Well, it's an intentionality is what we're speaking to. Welcome to the show there. I know you're probably out working and what have you. Glad that you can join us. Any questions, comments thus far? Okay. He may have had his phone moved. from time to time he is out.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pastor. You got the floor.
He was saying seven pillars, and you put emphasis on it about something in particular, and I wanted to make sure I heard what you said to the exact.
Manhood.
That's a tough one. And I was on the streets and everything, but I'm going to make sure that I tune right back in. I've been trying to call in, and it's just getting a little difficult just trying to get a connection. So now that I know I got a connection, I can and will call back. I will call back when I need about 10 more minutes. I'm getting ready to get off the phone now. So getting ready to get off. So I'll be right. I call back. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. For the sake of our listening audience, he works out in ministry, basically in the West Nashville area, largely. And he and I have partnered together. And quite often he has the podcast telecast where he is. So, and sometimes, you know, that's the way that works. You can't do that with interacting with people directly as well. But some conversations are not suitable for the radio. So, but anyway, we're grateful that he's there. We continue, and we got a call out of the Atlanta area, 2320, who's joining us tonight in a conversation about seven pillars of manhood. We still have a little time here before we wrap our show up. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We are talking about these things that help identify and sustain a man, okay? And everybody that say they're a man is not a man. What did you say, Doctor? I said everybody that say they're a man is not a man. All looks are not light. All dogs don't bite. And everything that shines is not gold. You may have a little glitter in your eye, but it ain't gold. Ain't nothing wrong with that, Doc. Tell the truth. Can I tell the truth and shame the devil? But to a greater point here, I wanted to really make sure I made very clear that in speaking on this topic, it is not my intent to disregard anyone and their efforts and their life and their own identity as a man. That's something you have to look at. But I would hope that in retrospect you would consider this, and that's why I made the point of distinguishing from what society says, from what oftentimes is ruled in courts, and from what the creator man himself has ordained and established for manhood. Now, you were talking about the pastors, caller. I agree with you 100%. If we train our attention, our resources, and our energy on this population, not every young male is challenged like that, is wayward, who are at risk. Not every one of them are. But for those who are, if we all collectively let our iron sharpen our iron, we can make a difference for them. We can make a difference for them. But you know one of the big things? Back in 2008, Doc, I had it was called a male, I'm trying to remember what we called it now. It was a conference. No, it was a summit, a male summit. And I had talked with 12 gentlemen that were 60 years and older, asked them to serve as a panel at the church. And I had talked to some guys that I knew sold dope on the street, okay? And I asked them if they would bring in their friends with me so we could have an honest dialogue. And you know what the younger guy said? They said, man, them blank, blank, they don't want to hear us, and we ain't trying to mess with them because they don't like us. I said, well, wait a minute, let's see. I want to create an environment where we can change that. The older guys, even though they agreed to come and be on the panel, many of them had the sentiment, these young boys don't want nothing, and it's a waste of our time. And I said that to say that it was clear to me, it was evident to me, the importance of breaking that barrier and building that bridge of communication. Because you had these young guys in the street, they were detached from the experiences and the knowledge and the understanding of these gentlemen that were 6 decades or older. You see what I'm saying? But we had a really good time. And one of the guys got up, Doc, he spoke so long, and he was cussing in the sanctuary. But one of the gentlemen said, "Wait a minute, son, this is the house of God." So I stopped him respectfully. I said, "Now, I promise them that they can speak honestly, frank, and clear. They don't have to hold it back. Talk like you talk on the street." He looked at me like, "You told him?" Yeah, I told him that. And I don't believe God is going to be mad at them for sharing with us, laying it all right in front of us right here. That's the only way we're going to fix and help them is to hear them. Was I wrong about that, Doc?
No. I agree with that. I agree. That was great. Let them talk in the manner that they want to talk. So as being older, more mature than them, you can lead them in a positive direction. I just hope more churches, organizations would really do this. You have different, sororities can do it, fraternities can do it, and I just don't see it going on. I just don't see it.
Doc, I still get calls from people asking me if we're still doing the same type of thing, and I say to them that's the easiest thing for me to do is to do that, right? But the reality is it's up to, like you said, it's a collective effort. It's a collective effort. And really, if our churches are going to be useful and meaningful, particularly with regards to this issue that we're talking about, we've got to step outside the box on our usual practices, because that's what the circumstances call for. You know, it's no longer able to just sit by and say nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's different. It's different ways, and the church can do things. Different church. I'm not talking about just Baptist, Catholic, and
we speak similar, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I'm Catholic. So I was raised Catholic, born Catholic. And one thing that the church belonged to now, and other churches I belong to, we always have and they have a teen mass. The services in Catholic are referred to as mass, and so there was always a teen. Here's a teen life mass, and now and then I go to it, and what that particular service. They have teens doing the reading, you know, collecting the money in the choir.
Okay.
Yeah, everything except what we call a priest. You know, they're the ones actually, up at the altar level. But even sometimes a teen will even do the main sermon.
Wow.
Yeah, and They have it on two churches that I can remember. They have it like at 5:30 on Sunday, because teenagers sleep late because they have to get up early. There's a lot they're doing at school. So, you know, Sunday they may sleep late. Okay, so 5:30, great time. That's just one thing that it just popped in my mind a few minutes ago of talking. But then sometime when the priest would talk, would do the sermon, he would relate it to the reading, but relating it to topics that's really hurting teens trying to help them, you know, one being suicide. And then, you know, we were seeing a lot of teen pregnancy at one point. I think that's kind of gone down some. But that's just one thing I was just thinking about. But, you know, each church, your pastors, I know now that your church has vacation Bible school, which is a week.
And
a lot of them, I hear they're struggling trying to get people in the church people at the Baptist church to volunteer and teach for 1 week. So adults have to get involved and help out, and don't say it's not my child, so I'm not going to do anything. Because I've taught in Catholic they call it it's called Sunday school. So I taught this like 6 years ago, and when my kids were grown. But when they were at that age, I took them there. You know, I would take them and wait out in the car or doing the iron hair. But parents and the whole community just need, really right now, I feel we're in a crisis. We're talking about a COVID pandemic, but the main the crime crisis that we're in all over this country, it is just mind-boggling.
Let me say this: anybody that knows me know that for the last 15 years, I've been focused, and that's why we started the African American Male seminar series, and we went to 10 different cities with it, and that's how this podcast started. Anybody that knows me know that I've been identifying a crisis for the last decade and a half. So the pandemic didn't bring this crisis. What the problem is, as you're pointing out now, and I'm going to say we, because as a pastor, we have not properly positioned ourselves, collectively speaking, to address this crisis that's been brewing for some time. And to wait on the president, the governor, the mayor, or anybody else is to set your children up for failure. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Doc, let me say something. If I were to go and snatch a UPS truck, and I know what blocks to roll around on and what time to meet them, to find them there, and just throw them all in the UPS trucks and take them to the wilderness like Jesus was in, I believe we can make a difference for them. But guess what happened to me? When they catch me, they're going to arrest me for kidnap, assault, and then I'd be in jail. And all I was trying to do is, I'm laughing a certain point into reality.
You go ahead. Laughing is a good, I always say, laughing is a good treatment, a good medicine when we read certain things and in the paper, on the news. And because today I have different apps on my phone so I can keep up with different things. And today somebody stole an ambulance from Grady Hospital.
What?
Okay, so the and I don't mean to laugh, but I just, a physician too, they called me. She was, well, the day I saw patients, telemedicine. So I was pretty much home. I mean, in at my office here, my house, but the ambulance driver had a patient. You know, they trying to hurry and get the patient to the emergency room. So he left the car, the ambulance running. You know,
they
the mission, everything on. So somebody, by the time he came back, the ambulance was gone. So last I heard, they're still trying to find the ambulance. Now, you see, this is the kind of things that really affect medicine. I mean, it's not because of my being a physician, but when police have to use their time to go look for an ambulance.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope this is just an isolated incident. Hope this don't happen every day. I really pray that that's not the norm.
You have no idea what's going on down there. It's just every day it's very interesting news, okay? But it's
okay.
All over. I mean, not ambulances, but, you know, just other things. It's
no,
it's still the kill and young people, and that is the sad thing. That's the sad thing. To me,
I find often when I speak of these things, many people become guarded and feel as though my words are indicting, and that's certainly not my intention. That is definitely not my intention. But if we don't face these realities, we're subject to lose more young people who don't benefit from the intervention that we talked about. It. You see what I mean?
I want to say this to just make if you haven't thought about this tonight, because I've called in on your show maybe five times this time, but
we always have
other people, but
sure.
This is a topic, and it's some topics that a lot of people are afraid to even say anything about.
Absolutely.
They're afraid to say anything about because maybe, you know, their friend may not like them and or they may lose their job.
Uh-oh.
Everybody has different opinions. That, you know, your show is educational, but people can voice their concerns and give ideas.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let me ask you this, Doc. Come on now. How does an important concept like being a man become politicized? I realize I know the answer to that. I mean, that's what stuns me. It seems to me that that's something we would all want. Just like we invest in womanhood, I hear a lot of promotions about women and empowering women. I mean, okay, I can see that. Should we want to focus our attention on young males to, I mean, how did that become so politicized? Help me understand that, like I'm 3 years old.
Well, honestly, I don't really have any idea how it became politicized.
Okay.
The only thing that I should say, well, the only thing I really can say is that talking with different, and these were physicians in Florida, they felt that, and it was men, about equally men and women, two family physicians, OBGYN, that's why the whole issue of like abortion was talked about, and internal medicine.
Okay.
They felt it became like it has in the last year or two politicized to win over votes for certain party, and you know that's all I can say. I really don't.
I don't have any idea
because you know politicians. You know when you listen to certain campaign videos and on TV ads and
yeah,
I mean I just shake my head. I can't answer that.
Well, here's the thing. We had a gentleman on here who raised the point that you don't want to demonize black males in urban America. You don't want to make them out to be the bad people. Now, I agree with him. You don't. At the same time, you don't want to sugarcoat the reality of the need for change in certain behaviors, right, and mindset. Now, you can do both of them at the same time. You can empower them with knowledge and information. At the same time, show them dignity and respect. At the end of the day, Doc, if you ever find me and I'm face down in the cow pasture in manure, please help me up. Don't be standing there trying to be cute. Okay? I'm face
no,
down
I'm
now.
I'm gonna help you out. And one thing when you were saying about, you mentioned about women, your opening statements and doing our time tonight. One thing I tell women, young ladies, and I take care of women different ages.
Okay.
If you don't, now I don't want to say demand respect, but if you carry yourself as a woman, a young lady, in a certain manner, then a man may not respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, a man would, but a grown man would.
A man would respect you.
I understand what you're saying. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make a distinction. That's really what this focus was about, these pillars. What we have conflated with manhood is a certain chronological age, right, and a certain position that assumes you should be respected as such. But a grown male that treats you like you're something for their individual pleasure, that's almost like a wild animal. That's less than a man. That's true.
But I try to be very careful how you start words. Think of an example that a patient of mine, because I also take care, you know, women who've been raped. I told this young lady who had been raped,
mm-hmm.
when she came off, she told me next day, I said, well, tell me, you know, how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she gets in a car with 3 football players to go to their apartment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, So she gets in the car with 3 football players, go to the apartment, and she really liked one of them, but then all 3 of them raped her. So then, she's crying all this. Okay. So I told her, I'm going to take care of your medical problem. I said, but mentally, why are you getting a car with 3 men going to an apartment?
Right.
I just want to hear from your next caller.
No, that's a good point. But see, part of the problem is, I'm coming right to you there, Selma. Part of the problem is we assume that you can trust everybody in society. And unfortunately, a lot of our young ladies, and this is a lesson I taught to my daughter, you're an attractive young lady, you don't belong in front of a bunch of males, and you don't carry yourself in certain ways because you make thieves hungry, like feeding frogs to snakes. Because there's some vultures out there. Let's face it. There's some rascals out there, old and young, that are low down and dirty, and you just don't need to be around. You can't trust them, you know. But so that's the reality. Don, go ahead, brother. He's joining us from Selma, Alabama. We're talking from the topic.
Yeah, you correct, Mr. Dockery. And Mr. Dockery, and it comes from our spiritual fathers that never taught our young man not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat flesh, you're going to lust for the flesh. So they're going to have to learn that, you know what I'm saying, and guess what? Our leaders going to have to become more conscious. What I'm experiencing here in Selma, the leaders got the hand in the cookie jar, and they often keep a perversion. So, yes, sir, we don't call them, Mr. Doctor. You know, I'm getting ready to cash in. So Bernard Lafayette and them got to give me some answers now.
Okay.
I don't want to hear none of that. Even in there, you got to give me some answers. Why the good old boys got pavement companies? And what we're the majority of the population, we don't have no pavement company. That roads tore up, We don't have no paving company in Selma, but up there in Tennessee, in good old Dixon County, Mikey Banks and them got about 600-800 trucks up there, and all the good old boys is working. Got brand new brick houses up there, and we ain't got nothing.
Yes.
So somebody need to give me some answers.
I hear what you're saying. So, Don, we have on with us a doctor out of Selma, Alabama. She's been with us before, and she was gracious enough to join us in the conversation. And should it matter, she's a lady. But we've been talking about the importance of recognizing these pillars, these support bases for manhood. And we were the thing.
But guess
one
what,
thing
Mr. Doctor? I got to be honest with you. The girls that they like me and to beat them upside the head, drag them down the street.
Well,
I don't know what
on,
what that psychology is, Monique. Maybe you be dancing with.
One second. You said they like it, but here's what I see, Don.
They love it.
Listen to me for a second. Consider this one.
Go ahead.
It's not that they like it any more than an alcoholic likes being inebriated and falling out, as it is they've been conditioned to that behavior. Not that they like it. It's a crazy thing, and Doc, jump in here in a moment. It's a crazy thing, but people have a tendency in the search of happiness to do things that are contrary to their best interests. You see what I mean, big brother? And they often can't figure out why it is they keep on slipping further and further into darkness, but they don't realize that they're leading it, they call it on themselves. Doctor, give me 1 second. Here's a good illustration.
Slipping in the darkness.
Hold on 1 second, Don. In the Arctic, I'm told that there was a method of catching these wolves that were scarce, and they had nice fur and what have you, right? What they would do is they would take a knife, a blade, and put it in the ice, right, in a block of ice, and they would take another animal's blood and put it on that blade, a sharp blade. Well, the wolf would come in search of the blood, right, and start licking it, not realizing it's licking its own blood until it falls out and dies. And they never have to shoot the animal, and they're able to take the wolf fur and sell it and make a lot of money off of it. So it's amazing how that dynamic done. Let me hear from Doctor. Doctor, would you want to respond to that in terms of this notion of women wanting to be hurt? They want to, you know, they want to be knocked upside the head.
Well, I know I don't, and I never had that experience, and I never was taught that way, okay? My mother, she told me, she said, you know, it's how you get in a relationship. She said, it's how you start with a man, okay? Now, and, you know, you have to have respect for yourself, not just the way you talk, the way you dress, but you said you're in Selma, Alabama. I'm not saying it's just in Alabama. Maybe it's in other cities, states, too. I don't know. But the friends of mine that I'm aware of do not like that, but maybe a lot of women like that. I don't know. Maybe, evidently they do.
In Selma, they like it. I'm going to tell you why I know you like it like in Selma.
Oh,
look,
they
here. They don't have one bank in this town chartered for themselves. And it seems like
one,
to me a father would sit down with his daughter and would want his daughter to be economically independent. So that's the reason I'm saying what I'm saying.
Okay.
One in Selma. We 95. Look, we the majority of the population in the county.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the demographics in Selma. I'm a family physician, and so these are things that I take, you know, try to help people, domestic violence, rape, et cetera. So that's sad to say that these young ladies, they don't have, and not to be a biological father, but not even a father figure in their lives who can try to guide them, or even the mother to tell them that this is not appropriate behavior, in a relationship or any type of relationship for a man to be hitting on a woman and vice versa, it's the same thing. We've seen a lot of women who are beating on men. We are, yeah.
That's,
I mean, I read.
That's happened too.
I'm reading, and it's, and I will not read these things because I follow nationwide and in Tennessee and Florida, place I have a medical license, and in Georgia, and I take an open addiction Arkansas place. But anyway, that, you know, women, they are hitting the men with skillets and they're killing them. And I just, it's mind-boggling.
So if I might, here's, and I want to stay with our topic, seven pillars of manhood. One of those things done that I pointed out, we've been operating from Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verse 11 through 17, and that's the basis of these seven pillars. The last one ended with Don, iron sharpening iron. Okay, in other words, men being the basis of keeping us accountable. Okay? And part of the problem, one of the reasons why the community or the environment is unsafe for women or females is because the brothers are not right. Let me say that again. The brothers have not provided a safe place and environment for them to be the women that they need to be. Now, somebody would say, they can do that themselves. They don't need no man to be. Well, the reality is when you got those vultures out there and folks start going upside your head, then you realize why there's a need for some protection, some cover. That's where Elohim established it from the get-go. Now, the truth of the matter is man doesn't exist by himself. I pointed this out. But he exists with his female counterpart and one entity. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, what God has put together that no man put asunder. We got, society has gotten in our head and got us all twisted, though. See, because you got, as we pointed out earlier, Don, there are people with political, economic, and even social agendas that are pumping these things in folks' heads. And they can't figure out why they keep losing. They're in a losing groove and don't even know why. But you can let other folks suggest stuff to you, the media and everybody else, telling you all kind of ideas about how you identify yourself, what you should be. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, it's not real. It's not real. You face the negative consequences of your action, and you can't figure out why you keep spiraling. Anytime you encourage young people not to be responsible, not to work for themselves, not to develop themselves, you're setting them up for failure the older they get.
Mr. Doctor, can I tell you what happened here last night? An old lady got killed by young men last night because the lady's grandson was beefing with the other one. They went in the house and killed her last night.
Is that right? Yeah. Well,
right here in Selma. Yes, sir.
That's sad. You know, and these are the type of things that men ought to be organized to address. We ought to be informed. We ought to be organized. And we ought to be cautious enough to come up with the plan, the solution, the deal. That's what Dr. saying, and he's stepping on my toes rightfully as a pastor and preachers. You understand what I'm saying? One of the things Dr. COVID has done was pull the cover off. I'm going to say, not that I want to, but I'm just in the interest of being collective, pull the cover off of us preachers, Doc. Now we're going to have to come up with it. You understand what I'm saying? Look,
well,
there are some needs people have.
Really,
go ahead.
Yeah, I really wish you, I would love, that's one of my recommendations. And I've enjoyed my hour and a half, but I've been up since 6 a.m., okay?
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
And I have an appointment at 9 a.m. and 10 until tomorrow. You know, it goes on and on. But this has been a great topic, and
I'm happy
to talk to the guy in Selma, Alabama.
Yeah, brother Don.
I'm in Canton, Georgia, but I'm doing the best I can with helping medically. That's all I'm you know. Okay.
You've offered great information. All right, thank you. You've offered great information. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight right here on Talk Straight Seth. Yes, ma'am. We'll be in touch. So Pastor Waller has joined us now from his site there. And Pastor, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this, what God is calling for, what Elohim himself is calling for, are men, righteous men, to stand in the gap, and to be the pillars, that are needed today in 2021. When we examine ourselves, can we answer the question, am I a pillar in my society, or am I a weight to my society? Maybe that's the rhetorical question we should ask ourselves. Am I a pillar, or am I? Is that a fair question, Pastor Waller, to pose to myself?
Ooh, that's a heavy question.
That's a lot of responsibility, too.
Well, it ain't nothing to take lightly, Don. That's for sure.
When you're a pillar in the community, you got to be responsible, man.
Yes,
you got to be accountable.
Yes, sir. Let me hear from Pastor Waller right
now. You see what I'm saying, Mr. Dockery?
I hear you, big brother. Loud and clear. Pastor, can you hear me? Are you there?
You said something, Pastor Dockery, earlier about what God put together. In other words, purposely put together. Whatever he put together, I'm talking about when he put it together, he said, let no man separate it. Let no man put asunder. In other words, there is a divine connection with his word. In other words, to be lifted up, like you say, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. That's a divine connection right there. So anything that he put together, he says, unless the Lord build the house is built in vain. That's why he's always first. He could never be second in my life now, because he wasn't even nobody that I even talked to when I was coming up, because I didn't know him. So I didn't pretend. But once I got hooked up with him, then nobody can separate me from him. Can't nobody even deny me. There's a brother right now that's talking to me right now, standing here with me. He said, man, a lot of them don't even know why you down here. That's what he just said. Didn't you just say that, brother? They said they don't even know why I'm sitting here. In other words, I'm right here. It seemed like something got to be wrong with me because nobody else is around, and I'm right here. But every now and then you get somebody to come down here where I'm at. What am I saying? If I let somebody separate me from what he's put together, then that right there would be detrimental to his hookup. Well, I wanted to say this right here, man. I appreciate the brother for telling me. He said, a lot of them don't even know why you're right here, because it looks awkward. It looks like it's like, is something wrong with him? You know, now he came down here, he see that I'm at work. I'm doing the work. You follow what I'm saying? And it's a beautiful thing, Pastor Doctor, that you said that, man. I want to let you know that has value in so many areas. You know, when you said that, that's when I had just come on. So I want to let you know, when God moves, man, he'll give you a chance to hear something that has to do with his word. You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. The word says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor powers, nor angels, nor principalities, nor any with the name and things, you know what I mean, about all these things, good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, can be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I have to remember that, and remember that when he put something together, don't let no one separate it. And that's what's happening a lot of times, even in the realm of where that word is located, about the woman and the man, the husband and the wife. You know how when God put it together, you're not supposed to let nobody separate you. But does that happen, is my question. Does that happen, and what caused it to happen when it happens? That's the thing.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to make sure, that I can put that question out there. What caused that to take place when it's so joyful, it's so loving, it's so understanding at the beginning? So what caused that to take place? Who is able to separate what God put together?
So, and I think that that question was answered in the monologue. One of the pillars that I pointed out of manhood is to know who, what, when, and where to get with. It's possible that you can have two good people, a male and a female, but they're not good for one another. And a man understands that you can't just hook up with everything and anybody, because they can make you or break you. They can make you or break you. And what Jesus was talking about is when people have like-minded thought and they're in agreement and they enter into a commitment before the Creator that they're going to produce something. That's what marriage is about, is a commitment to produce on behalf of the Almighty. Now, that's not what your marriage is. You're doing. I heard Don say that's just legalized prostitution. Don's dad said that was legalized prostitution. When you have the notion, I give you something, you give me something. He said, "Hey, number, you got a piece of paper, legalized prostitution." I said, "Wow, that's heavy right there." But the truth of the matter is, marriage is about more than just you and your interests, and that's why in the Genesis text it said, "Be fruitful." And what else it say, Don?
Be multiply.
Yes, sir.
Multiply.
Yes, sir. You think that?
And,
Don,
and that's on
God
all levels: spiritual, emotional, biological, physical, emotional, and spiritual. You know, mental.
That's it.
You see what I'm saying?
What's wrong with them?
So maybe God was just playing, Don. Maybe he was drinking alcohol when he said that he was drunk, or did he mean what he said? Be fruitful and multiply. We got about 7 minutes, and I want to bring the topic to a close. 7 pillars of manhood. Manhood is not something that happens by accident. It is not something that is happenstance or something that is negotiable. But it was designed and orchestrated and ordered by Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God of creation, at the beginning of time. And he was intentional about that. Now, as I asked my brother here, Brother Don, the question that we should ask ourselves, brother, is, are we pillars in our community, or are we just like a lump on a log? That's an individual question we have to ask ourselves. How much am I a pillar around the people that are in my domain? Now, the endeavor this coming Thursday night is to have done. I hope you can join us. We want to open the floor to fathers to talk about their experiences and their stories as fathers. And we'll wrap up our series for fatherhood with that. So, Don, I hope you can join us at 7 o'clock. We're going to open the floor to fathers to just tell their stories about what it meant to you. You know, where can you grow? Is there room that you think you could grow if you would do things differently? You know, how would you do it? That sort of thing. So grateful for you. We've been talking tonight, though, from the topic 7 pillars. 7 pillars of manhood. It's interesting, Pastor Waller, when I have topics like this, we don't get very many people to stay on with me. I wonder why that is, Don. I'm not beating them up. I'm just, why is that? It's all right, because there are those who need to hear it that are listening, and I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to share the information. With that, Don, give me a final thought, big brother, before we get out of here.
Thank you. Mr. Doc, I'm here in Selma. I'm enjoying myself in life with my son. I spent some time with my son today, his mother, and so, you know, I've been having good time and good conversation. So
wonderful.
I got no complaints.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us tonight, there. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, I know you're out there busy, so we're going to wrap the show up. If you will, close us out for tonight.
Yeah, amen. Hey, Brother Don, I appreciate you, brother, for calling in and for sitting in with us. For everybody else who had a chance to talk and ask questions, or for those who was just listening, we really appreciate that, and thank you, Pastor Doctor, for your faithfulness. So we want to wind down on this note, because the Word of God said that this is the day that the Lord has made. He tell us mm-hmm. to rejoice and to be glad in it. And when you have a desire to line up with the will of God, stay connected with him, be persuaded and don't let nothing and nobody separate you from the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage mm-hmm. everyone that's tuned in, when you get an opportunity on Tuesdays and Thursdays, tune in, because the show have a lot to offer. Keep up the good work, Pastor Doctor. I yield back to you on that note.
All right. We appreciate you. You keep doing what you're doing out there, man, because it will pay off. It will pay off there. And we appreciate that. And with that, we're going to look forward to seeing you Thursday. Want to encourage all fathers, call in here, 657-383-0944. 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to open the floor to you. We're going to put it out there for 2 hours, for Lord willing, for us to share our stories and let iron sharpen iron. Until then, we'll see you.